Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Hey, we're at last week we did Just One Touch. And got a whole series going on Just One Look. Next week we got Just One Word. And the next week after that is going to be Just One Drink. Amen. Just one drink. You know, Jesus said, come on, just one drink. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. So we're going to bring all your friends for that one because we're going to have a drinking party. And I'm telling you, with God, you and God are in a drinking relationship. You really are. Because it says in Corinthians, it says that we've been given one spirit to drink. Now, I didn't make that up. I mean, he said, you're to drink of the Spirit of God. It said, drink of the Spirit. Drink the Spirit. Drink huge drafts of the Spirit of God. You know, when you get really satisfied on him, a lot of the other stuff really doesn't matter anymore because he's a drink that satisfies and restores. So if you got any big drinking friends, party animals, bring them for that meeting because it's going to be good. Amen? All right, let's look. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 45, 22. We're going to look at look today. Just one look. This is a great verse. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Like, not a portion of it, not an individual, but the solution for all the ends of the earth. Salvation is freedom. It means freedom, victory, liberty, blessing. That word saved is a big, broad word. It says, look to me and be free. Look to me and be delivered. Look to me and experience satisfaction. Look to me, all the ends of the earth. Just one look to him, it says, and it'll change and radically shift your whole life. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no one else. Just one look. Just take a look at your neighbor. Say, just one. That's all it took. Just one look. That's all it took. Just one look. It sounds like a song. John chapter 3, 14 to 15. This was Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he was a part of the priesthood, a part of the ruling Jewish party of the day, and he wanted to know more about Jesus, but he came at night, and it's great. The story's titled Nick at Night. So Nicodemus came at night, and he was talking to Jesus, and Jesus was talking to him about being born again. He's talking to him about the breath of the Spirit comes, and it breathes on people, and people are born from above. And he said, it's like this. It says, you remember Moses? You're a student of Moses, the book of Moses. Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness. See, they had a curse on the people, and snakes had come, and everybody was getting bit by these poisonous snakes. But the Lord said to Moses, lift up a pole, put a snake on it, and anyone who just looks at that snake will be set free. Just one look. He said, even so, say even so. So he's bringing it in a relationship to that story. He's saying, just like the snake was lifted up and it only took one look, because the snake represented Jesus on that cross becoming a curse, taking every bit of pain, every bit of difficulty, every issue that separates you from the love of the Father, everything was taken on the cross, and it was just one look. And everyone in that story, in Numbers chapter 21, verse 8, it says, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks, he shall live. Just like that. I mean, you just, anyone who's bitten, if you've been bitten by anything in life, if somewhere life has bitten you, if somewhere where evil has bitten you or come against your life, you know what? You can come to Jesus. The ends of the earth, it's wide open to everybody. Just come, everybody, look and live. Don't you like it that God made it that simple? I mean, he makes the bar so low. I mean, religion makes it so high, but God literally made it so low. He made it so easy that if you want freedom, if you want to be liberated from snake bite, from anything that's hindering your life today, he said, just look to me, the ends of the earth, and you'll be saved. Just turn to your neighbor and say, that was good. That's good stuff right there. It's important stuff. All right, Acts chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. This is where Peter and John, I mean, after the Pentecost, and you know, we had a little Pentecost today, you know, speaking in tongues and prophecy and interpretation. We are a Pentecostal church. We expect those things to happen. So this was after Pentecost. Now they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God. And Jesus said, wait till you're endued with power from on high. Don't try to do anything on your own strength. Wait till the power of God comes on you. So here they are, empowered believers, Peter and John, going to the temple for the time of prayer, going in to minister and manifest the kingdom of God. And then Peter, as he's walking along, here's a guy who's been lame from birth, which means Jesus, when he went in, he walked by this guy. This guy would have been there then, but on this day, Peter decided, you know what? Enough already. He saw that situation. He said, I want to see a breakthrough for this guy. So he turned to him and he yelled at him. He said, look at us. See, they're coming into the temple in time of prayer. It's a big crowd. And the reason he's being brought there is because you want to beg when there's a big crowd. So, I mean, if you came to beg at the temple when nobody's there, it's silly. But in the time of prayer, when people are coming, he wants to be at the gate. He wants to be there so he can beg for alms. He begged for alms, and Peter gave him legs. It was awesome. So, look at us, he said. Look at us. Look at us. So, he gave them his attention, expecting to receive. Look at us. He stopped. I mean, a whole crowd of people. He's saying, alms, alms. And then suddenly, two guys in the crowd say, hey, look at us. And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. How many know you got to have it to give it away? He said, what I do have something. I got something that, you know what, will deliver you from this whole circumstance of having to be a beggar anymore, but you just going to take one look. Look at us. Look at us. Just one look over here, because I've got something to give you that'll break you through. He said, what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, rise up and walk. Peter reached out with his arm, and he pulled him off his bed, and it said, immediately. Say, immediately. How many want some immediately's? How many want to see some suddenlies? I mean, I don't want to be praying for sick people and they leave sick. I want to see sick people touched, healed, delivered, and set free immediately. I tell you, we need to see God manifest in these days in powerful ways. There's powerful problems, but we got a powerful God. No matter what the situation, he can invade that situation. Immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Now, there's a couple of Greek words. There's several words in the Greek. The Greek's so much more of an expressive language than English. In fact, it's considered the most expressive language that we have. And I think that's the wisdom of God, to have the New Testament written in a language that can be very, very detailed and very expressive. Now, there's one word for look. It's the word eido. Eido, it means to look and to perceive with your eyes, to look and to see. Like, you can look at the lights, look at the pastor, look. You can look and perceive. Oh, that's the pastor. But the word that was used here by Peter was the word blepo. Say blepo. Blepo. Blepo, it means to turn your thoughts, to direct your mind to a thing, to consider, to contemplate, to look at, to weigh carefully, to examine, to gaze upon in order to possess. That's a whole different word, isn't it? Like, I could say, look at me, or I could say, look with a massive expectation. There's something that you can receive. There, expect your whole world to change. Expect that because of your look, you're going to experience something that's going to impact you and possess your life forever. That's a whole different look. You see, that's why the guy stopped. He said, whoa, this guy wants my attention. Something really going on. He might have thought, this guy wants to give me a big gift. Whoa, I'm going to pay attention to him. But he said, yeah, it's not about silver and gold today. It's about your freedom and your healing and your restoration. Say blepo. Good for you. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say gazuntike. All right. Acts chapter 14, 8 to 10, it says, and in Lystra, a crippled man from his mother's womb who had never walked, this man heard Paul speaking. Now, Paul's speaking, we know what Paul speaked about, because Paul said that he had a message of the grace of the kingdom of God. So there's a new king, there's a new reign, there's a new rule. You don't have to be subject to the things of this world, but you can come under the reign and rule of a new king, a king who wants to pour out grace. You don't have to earn it. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. God wants to pour himself out in your circumstance, in your situation. So Paul's ministering. There's a new God. He loves you. He's here. I want to manifest his kingdom right here and now. And this person was listening to that word. How many know if you're listening to that and you're in a situation that needs a big change, your ears are going to perk up. You're going to pay attention. So he heard this. Now he's listening and listening. So he's heard this, this cripple, this man heard Paul. It says, observing him intently. What does that mean to you, observing him intently? I mean, there's a look going on. I don't know about you, but when I'm preaching, I get some people are, I get some people just looking down. I get some people checking their watch. Some people are observing intently. But somebody was listening to Paul. Somebody who had circumstances they wanted to see shift was paying real attention, saying, if this guy, if what he's really saying is absolutely true, my situation is going to change today. 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 Just yell at your neighbor today. Turn to the other person and say, you're my second choice. All right. All right. He had faith. Look what he saw. It says, observing him intently and seeing. So while he's preaching, suddenly it's like, boop. Boop. It's like suddenly your Holy Ghost radar is going out. And all of a sudden while you're preaching, it's not just people looking at you. Suddenly you see somebody go, boop. Does sound like sonar, right? Sounds like radar. It's like somebody came up on the screen. Boop. And you see and you go, oh my goodness. There's somebody right there who's putting a demand right now. There's somebody where faith has risen in their heart. Because what did he see? It says, seeing that he had faith to be healed. What does faith look like? I mean, what does that look like to see somebody who's so engaged in the message and say, I am going to embrace right now. I'm going to bring into the seen what you're saying in the unseen so that my seen can be changed and it can be aligned with the unseen. So the unseen realm can come into my seen realm and bring the kingdom of God into manifestation right now. You know, everything that you need, everything begins in the unseen realm. Everything. And the things that you need, they have to be brought into this realm. And you do that by faith. Seeing that he had faith, he said to him with a loud voice, and next week we're going to talk about that word, just one word. But he said to him in a loud voice, stand up, straight on your feet, and he leaped and he walked. Amen. Nice stories, aren't they? We don't want the only miracles we ever talk about to be the ones in the Bible. We need them today. The Bible, if it is authentic, what's going on here has to be in manifestation today. A powerless church is just a messy thing. You can ignore a powerless church. Just another little group of mindless people playing their little game. Little club stroking each other in their pains week after week. That should be a powerful group of people gathering with testimonies of the presence of God in their lives all week long, manifesting, extending the kingdom, the grace, and the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. I love this passage because when the religious people turned around and said, nobody can forgive sins except God. Who do you think you are? And then Jesus said, what's the difference to say your sins are forgiven or pick up your bed and walk? What's the difference? Is there any difference between your sins being forgiven and your body being healed? Jesus is saying there's no difference. The same word, the same faith, the same work of the cross, the same thing that gets you into the kingdom is the same thing that not just delivers you spiritually and gives you a future. It's the same thing that touches your life today and brings heaven to earth in your experience. It's the same faith. It's that same decision that forgives your sins is the same decision that heals your body and changes your world. There's no difference. There's no difference. But I want you to see that Jesus saw their faith. See, these were guys that were literally, they brought a lame friend. There were so many people in the house and so many people around the house that they couldn't get their lame friend before Jesus. How many know when Jesus is in the house, you want to bring all your sick friends to get healed? You know, and this was people who said, if we can get him there, he'll be healed. His whole world were changed. And, you know, he couldn't get himself there, so four friends said, we're going to get you there. And I don't just believe it was their faith. I think he was like, get me there. Help me. I can't get there. Get me in front of Jesus. And when they couldn't get in the door, they went up on the roof. Now, this was Peter's home. That's what we understand through church history, that this was a home of Peter. Peter, pretty crazy dude. I don't know about you, but if you had people coming to your place tearing off your roof to drop somebody in, I'd be up front going, dude, like, get a grip. I mean, can you imagine Jesus is teaching, suddenly dust is falling, things are breaking through, and things are falling down. Peter, what is going on? And all of a sudden, this guy gets dropped right in front of Jesus. And he looks up, he goes, this is awesome. Says he saw their faith. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. But the religious people always get mad. I mean, a dramatic revelation of Christ, and they get mad and upset. And yet, Jesus heals the guy so that he saw their faith. Now listen, faith is substantial. Faith has substance. Faith can be seen. Faith can be measured. Faith is something that you gotta have, because faith substantiates what you see in the unseen realm. Faith substantiates that and brings it into the seen realm. So you gotta look. You know, your good looks can save you. It's my good looks save me. That's not funny. It's true. You know, when I gave my life to Jesus, it was because we were at church in a midweek service in Montreal, and they were talking about doom and gloom and the end of the world, and it was all going to get ugly, and, you know, people were going to get the mark of the beast, and if you didn't take it, you'd be left behind. If you're left behind, you're going to become a cannibal and start eating people, because if you don't take the mark, and I was just like, oh my God, that's ugly. And I mean, I was crying in my room, and my mom, what's going on? I said, Mom, that's messy. I don't want any of that stuff. Well, she's like, you can accept Jesus. You can know Jesus. I said, if there's another plan and a way out of that, I'll take it. How many got scared into the kingdom? Just me? You know, that was my first decision right there. If it's going to get ugly, I want Jesus. How many know that's some crazy stuff, though? That's some crazy stuff, because I tell you right now, here's the truth. It's going to get better and better. The goodness of God is coming in a big way. I tell you, we don't have to be afraid. Perfect love drives out all fear. And there's a church rising up today that's going to minister and manifest the goodness of God. It's not going to be a weird, creepy church that judges everybody, critical and ugly with everybody. It's going to be a church that really manifests the authentic love of God. And it's going to be so attractive, people are going to run there. It's going to be so attractive. It's going to be so good. I just felt like Donald Trump there for a minute. It's going to be so attractive. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so powerful. Go so good, you know. Just wait and see. You just wait and see. You're going to be so good, so awesome. You know, I'll tell you, I'm number one in the polls. So awesome, so good. Just, I tell you, just wow. Just, you know, it's going to be so. We're going to have the best. I tell you, just watch you. I tell you, wow. But it is. I tell you, the church is going to be a glorious institution. It's going to rise up and be big and strong. It said the Lord's house is going to be the greatest house, and all nations will flow to it. It doesn't say that the church is going to be a byword in the nations and everybody's going to ignore us. But we got to be a church that's got the goods. We got to be a church that really manifests an authentic love and not creepy and weird and strange and judgmental and all that garbage. All right, just threw that in there. Faith substantiates things. Is that right, Pastor? It is. Hebrews 11, verse 1. What is faith? I love it when the Bible interprets the Bible. Here's the definition. Now faith. Say now. When does faith work? It works right now. Right now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? There's people that Jesus, they came before him, they were hoping for things. They were hoping that their world would change, that something would shift. I mean, they broke open that roof and dropped their friend there because they had a picture in their mind. He's walking, he's healed, he's free. Our friend can be delivered of this affliction. This is so good. This is so exciting. And they were so excited. Their hope was in manifestation, and it was blowing up in great faith. And that faith was there. There was hope. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance that brings in manifestation in this realm what you can't see. Verse 6 of chapter 11 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to him, to God, must believe. See, if you're going to come to God, you go, all right, if you want to change something, give it your best shot. Well, that's not faith. That's kind of, you know, doubt and unbelief and everything else. It's kind of like, you know, faith is where I'm coming to you because I believe. It's these people who heard Paul teaching, heard Jesus teaching, they came because they believed what he said. They didn't want to come, all right, give it a try, double dog dare you. You know, Zechariah got a word from God that his wife was going to have a son, and he said to the angel, yeah, like that's going to happen. He didn't speak again until the child was born. When the child was born, they were trying to name him after one of their family members, and all of a sudden, you know, he, John! Call him John! Because the angel said, name him John. He only spoke again when it was time to name his child. But Mary, when she heard a word that I'm going to become pregnant by the Holy Ghost, let it be unto me according to your word. That's faith. That's where you embrace that thing. That's where you say, yes, Lord. That's going to mess up my life. That's going to change my whole world. I'm going to be a teen pregnancy. And when they ask me how that happened, I'm going to say, God did it. That's going to mess up my world. But You know what, God, you want to do something big in the earth and you're looking for a womb to borrow? I'm in. Wow. What an amazing embrace. You must believe that he is. You must believe that he is. You must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I get an amen? All right. Going to go fast now. You ready? You want to go fast? Luke chapter 13. I love this passage. This is about a woman who for 18 years was bent over like this. The Amplified Bible says she could not look up and she could not look forward. So that was her whole life. So if that's your whole life, you pretty much had a relationship with people based on their feet. You would have a very great understanding of corns, bunions, and all manner of other things. Because in their culture, they wore sandals and all those things. So you could walk up to somebody and say, oh, I know that bunion. How are you today, Fred? You know, 18 years was bent over, had a spirit of infirmity, and could not straighten up. So let's go. It's in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So what is he teaching? We know what he's teaching because he said Jesus went about Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That's what Jesus was doing. So this woman's like, Jesus in the house. Tell your neighbor, Jesus in the house. Now faith is, now it is. So Jesus is teaching, there's a new reign, there's a new rule. I've come to announce a radical, radical thing. I mean, you got the Herods, they're ruling things, and they're, you know, the underlords of the Roman Empire, and then the Roman Empire, Caesar is Lord, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and he says, no, I'm king. I'm king. There's a new king in town. It's me. And I am from God himself. I am the Son of God. And he sent me here to announce that his kingdom is come. His kingdom is within your reach. Turn around, look, and embrace the good news. That's what he was teaching. So this woman is bent over, and she's like, my goodness, that sounds good. So look what it says. Follow me along. Verse 11, Luke 13. And behold, say behold. What does that tell you? Behold, what does that tell you? That tells you, beep. That tells you, beep, something happened. As he was teaching, all of a sudden, boop, somebody came up on the radar. As he was preaching, boop, something happened. Pow. When he was teaching, there he was. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, was bent over, could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, say, saw her. I tell you, it's just one look. Just one look. So you got to hang with this behold because Jesus saw something because she came into manifestation. She started to express something. Now, it says that behold, Jesus saw her. He called her and he said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Then he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And I got in the bottom there. Faith is a miracle magnet. Faith is a miracle magnet. Behold. She came on the radar. Well, how do you know she came on the radar? Come on. Because if you understand the synagogue, especially in Capernaum, where they were, this synagogue, men are all on the bottom floor, women are on the top in the balcony. They're all separated. In fact, Jewish synagogues are all separated today. Now, up above there, too, women had a lattice work because the woman shouldn't have clear, you know, access to things. So there was a lattice work that literally the woman would be not only trying to look over the balcony, but was staring through this lattice work, trying to see something. This is why it's so amazing that Jesus down teaching among the men, suddenly he saw something behind the lattice work up in the left-hand side. Suddenly something, boop, she popped. I mean, and you know what? She didn't actually mind that it was on the balcony because sitting up in the balcony bent over like this, it kind of worked for her. But you know, when she heard the good news of the kingdom, I mean, she's going, boop. Jesus saw the beep. Jesus saw the manifestation of faith. And he said, woman, you, not just any woman, but you. I mean, you popped off. You came into the radar. Your faith just came into bold expression. Woman, you are healed of your infirmity right now. She was immediately healed right there and set free. Say, behold. Behold. Let's look at verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm pastoring the church and somebody gets healed, I'm going to run around, jump up and down and say, yay. I mean, that's good news, don't you think? But I mean, the pastor of the synagogue there, he's mad. I don't know about you. He should have been mad a long time ago that somebody for 18 years could be in infirmity in his house. But see, he's mad and he's saying, you know, he didn't talk to Jesus. He said he's mad because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And it doesn't say he turned to talk to Jesus. It says he turned to talk to the crowd. Hey, listen, folks. You know, if you want to work, there's 6 days to work. You shouldn't be working on the Sabbath. I mean, the lady's healed, for goodness sake. You'd reckon that she's bouncing around the room. Whoa, look at you. Oh, you're not just a pair of feet with bunions. Look at you. I mean, she's so excited. And then this guy's like talking, yeah, this is wrong. We're out of order here. Stop it. Stop all the excitement. There's 6 days to work, not today. I mean, these people missed the whole point. And, you know, there's 6 days to work. And then Jesus said, you hypocrite. He said, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his donkey from a stall and lead it away to water? He says, come on. I mean, these are people. These are the people of God. And if they need a drink, if God himself wants to come and refresh them, what's that to you? What is your problem? I mean, you'll give your donkey a drink today, but you won't let the people of God get touched by God. What is the matter with you? Hello? Well, we don't believe healing is for today. Well, that's a problem because it is for today. You know, the word of God's not going to change. It's yes and amen. It's the same every day, and it's time for the church to contend for that. Too late. If I've seen one person healed, two people healed, three people healed, too late. If he did it for them, then it's his will. He wants to do it. Last week, we talked about the leper, and he said to the leper came to him, broke through the crowd. Even though he should be yelling, unclean, unclean, he ran to Jesus, said, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And if he said he's willing to a leper, then he's willing for you. Problem is, the church has been thinking, well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. Well, we'll just trust if it's his will. It is his will. It is his will. Verse 16, look what it says. It says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it now, for 18 years, should she not be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were being done by him. Now, give me another slide. I want you to see something. Being, okay? This woman is being. Say being. I want to be a Dallas Cowboy. I know that's really sad, you know? But there are some people right now that are being a Dallas Cowboy, which is also kind of sad. Although I do want to say the Leafs are on a winning streak. Okay, never mind. All right, so this being, see, there's a difference between I want to be and being. Now, if this person wasn't, I want to be a believer, I want to believe what you're saying, this person was being a believer. This person, she was, see, Jesus is saying, this person being a believer, I have a legal responsibility to break her of the bondage that she is in. See, because give me another slide. It says, let's just look at this just for a second. Being a daughter of Abraham, in Galatians, it says, if you're of faith, you're a son of Abraham. So she was believing, therefore she was a daughter of Abraham. Therefore, the phrase that Jesus used of her, daughter of Abraham, signified she was manifesting faith. Give me another slide. All right, Romans 4, 17, 18, I love that. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something of Abraham when he was nobody. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed. So he's the father of faith. She was a daughter of faith. She manifests that same faith that believed God could do something out of nothing. Give me another slide. Ought, there we are, the word ought. This word is D-E-I, day, which means it is necessary of the law. It is a command. It's a duty. It's an equity. It's a necessity. It's established by the council. It is a decree of God. And Jesus is saying this woman is being, not wants to be or hopes to be, but she is right now being a manifestation of faith. She right now is expressing the DNA of her father Abraham. She right now is manifesting that she believes that the unseen realm can come into manifestation here. Because she's doing that, Jesus said, I have a legal responsibility to manifest the kingdom in her life. No, settle down. Jesus is literally telling the guy, buddy, I was bound to do this. I had to do this. As soon as faith come on the radar, as soon as she manifests that believing heart, I had a legal responsibility as the Son of God, according to the purpose of God and the heart of God. When faith is manifest, the kingdom has to come in full expression. I had to do it. Jesus was legally bound to release this woman. There was a heavenly obligation that had to be fulfilled. just want to show you a quick little video, and we're going to give you one more scripture, and then we're going to pray for you, okay? Just one look.
Hi, I'm Julie, and this is my story. At a young age, I was diagnosed with an illness called Guillain-Barré. This is an autoimmune disorder where your own immune system attacks your nerves and paralyzes you. I had stayed in the London Children's Hospital for some time, and my mom always stayed with me. It was one night when my lungs actually became paralyzed that I passed away and went to heaven and met three shiny men. These shiny men told me that I had a purpose and that I would walk again. When I returned to my body, my mom was crying at my bedside, and I told her not to worry because I would walk again, and I knew that I always had a purpose. I didn't really know what this experience would do in my life long term. I was fortunate enough to be best friends with a girl named Courtney who was a Christian. Courtney in Lower Elementary School taught me what it meant to invite Jesus into my heart. I, again, didn't know what this would mean for my future, but I thought it was a really good idea. In high school, I really had an on-again, off-again relationship with God. I knew that God answered prayers, but unfortunately in high school, my focus was always boys. I dated on again, off again with a lot of people, and I allowed a lot of men to break my heart and to hurt and abuse me. And to be honest, I did still pray to God, but I didn't really see how God, as a man, could be loving when I allowed so many men to be unloving to me. It wasn't until university, when I was alone in my dorm room, yearning for God, that I found a church. I found a church actually in a young offenders facility that was open to the public. This was very appealing to me because I was a crim major, and so that worked. After this is when God started pouring into me and I learned all about Jesus and how he died for me, how he wants me to live a very blessed life. And it was actually at Acquire the Fire when I feel like I had true salvation. It was at this moment that I learned that God was the number one man for me, that he would never break my heart, and that I could experience true forgiveness. It was since that time that my life exploded in the goodness of God. I have had so many amazing experiences thankfully to God, from God, that I just can't even name them all. I'm now married, I'm living in London, I have a job of my dreams, I'm continuing my education, and I can thank God for all of it. And it all started in a hospital bed and with a Christian best friend. God wants to save us all, and I'm so thankful that he saved me.
You know, we actually have several of these videos. The one I showed you last week about Joshua being healed of epilepsy, that's on our website as well. And Joshua was here on the worship team this morning. So these are real people. These aren't people. These are people you know. Like, Julie's really there. And you can bring Julie's mom and her family in. They can really tell you that they went through that experience with Julie. Oh, and they told Julie after that, you know, this is all good, but you're never going to walk. And, you know, Julie said, oh, I saw these three shining men. I got taken up into heaven. She wasn't raised in a Christian home to have that even context for what that experience was. But, you know, Julie's like, I think I saw Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I got drawn into fellowship with them. And they said, we got a purpose for you. You're going to walk again. And, you know, amazing stuff. Well, that's all crazy. That's her experience. That's her story. That's real life. And that was a real circumstance that God invaded and touched her and changed her life forever. And she's walking and living and breathing and helping us help people in Haiti and ministering to people in correction facilities and bringing the love of God in so many places. You know, that's because just one look into the face of God and into him and that word from him has changed her life forever. You know, you might be here today and you've got experiences or difficulties or trials or troubles. I'm telling you, just like there was just one touch for Joshua and he was healed of epilepsy. Just like there's just that one encounter that Julie had with God and God spoke to herself. That one look into the reality of the living God can change you forever. The one thing I'd really like to establish today is that he accepts you and he loves you. Everything necessary for you to be a child of God, he took care of it. He paid the bill completely. It's finished. It's covered. You know, all you do is that, what must I do? Only believe. Said, what must I do the works of God? Believe. You know, when you say, I believe that you accept me, I believe that you've done these things for me. And it's not about you working yourself up to be somehow approved by God. He approves of you. And you know what he declares about you? Perfect. Literally perfect. He has the right, because he took care of every inequity, every single thing, that he has the right as the mighty God, as the Lord of everything, to declare you perfect. Who doesn't want to come into a perfect relationship with a loving God? Come on, stand up with me. Just going to ask you to, you know, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and just want each person to just experience that for themselves, that encounter with God for themselves. But you know, it's now. It really is right now. You know, I want you to know that love. I want you to walk in that acceptance today. And so I'd love to pray for you before we go. You know, if you've never ever had that kind of encounter where you said, I receive God's love for me. I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I hear that message, and just like that woman, boop, she came off the radar and said, I believe. Instantly, you can experience what it is to have a relationship with a loving God. And you know what? It's not just having your sins forgiven, but you can have your body healed, relationships healed, experiences that you're going through that God can begin to minister to, and he can shift. You know, if he did it for Joshua, he can do it for you. If he did it for Julie, he can do it for you. And he can do it right now. So I'm just going to ask you, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you one thing. That if you want me to pray for you before we go, and I'm going to pray with everybody, big corporate prayer, but if you want to receive him as your loving Savior, I'm just going to count to three. And at three, would you raise your hand so I can see it? It's just you. I mean, he loves you. He accepts you right now. One, two, three. Just raise it up high, really high, so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. You can put your hands down. We're just going to pray, and we're all going to pray. So you please, lift up your voice and pray. It says if you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He comes in, fills you with his Spirit, and makes his home. So we're going to pray right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and as my Savior. Spirit of God, fill my life. Assure me of the knowledge of my salvation. I confess right now that I am indeed a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, somebody may come and talk to you before you leave, because we want you to have the full encounter, the full experience with him. We're not asking you to join a church or join a religion or anything like that. We just want you to fully unpack the decision that you made today. All right? Now I'm going to ask those who are ready to minister, our prayer team for today, people assigned to pray for you. Now, you can encounter God right now. Mrs. Bolius, she was here. She had a deaf left ear. And she came right to the altar here. They prayed for her ear. Her ear was deaf, could not hear at all. Her ear was totally healed, set free right here at this altar. That wonderful Jesus who caused that woman 18 years bent over, totally free right here. There's Joshua right there. Joshua, why don't you wave? See that guy right over there? That's the guy who was on the video last week. Totally healed epilepsy. The doctors did a CAT scan, did a couple of CAT scans. I mean, put him under strobe lights, did everything to try to cause seizures. And the doctor could not believe it because his brain's a brand new brain. If you've had seizures, there's scars, there's evidence. The doctor said, this is a miracle because there is no marks of trauma on your brain. This isn't like somebody in deep, dark Africa or some book you read. These are people you know, people right here. And there's all kinds of other people who still need to encounter a God who loves them. You know, whatever you've got, maybe it's not a healing you need body. Maybe it's just some concern you have. It's a work-related thing. Maybe you need a financial breakthrough. Maybe you got a relational difficulty. Maybe you're believing for a son or a daughter going through a trial. Maybe you're believing for a spouse. Whatever you need, these folks are here, and they're ready to pray for you today. All right, so I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to send you on your way. Go Leafs, go, and God help the Cowboys. All right? In the name of the Father. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your great love. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for that unmerited favor which you embrace me unconditionally and you love me every day. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you're with me every day, that you're bringing into manifestation all of this good news, not just for my life, but breathing through me the very life and light of God to touch and minister to others. So I now commission every dear one of these saints and believers to go loose the love of God on a hurting and dying world, to manifest right now. The kingdom of God has come. Heaven on earth right now. Be glorified in each life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.